Let's welcome grief counsellor Claire Williams. Hello. Hello, Claire.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Founder of therapyfinders.co.uk. Just tell us what that's about.
So Therapy Finders is a matching service to help people find the right therapist for them for whatever they're going through. We found that, you know, people in when they are looking for help or when they're in a state of anxiety find it quite daunting, the process of finding that person to help them. And often people don't know who they need to see or what kind of therapy they need. And so we've tried to take the pain away from that process. So you answer a few simple questions on our website, and then we match you with one of the amazing therapists that we have on our database to get you the help you need as quickly and effectively as possible.
Talk to us how you get to be a grief counsellor. What led you to this, Claire?
So I got into grief counselling when I was training, actually, and it was just, I felt really connected with the work and watching people, helping people go through the grief cycle. I felt really privileged to be on that journey with them, and it was just very, very worthwhile work, it felt. And, you know, listening to people recount stories of loved ones, it just felt like a real honour to be involved with that process.
Can you explain the word counselling, what a counsellor is? Because it's not a therapist, is it? It's more listening than anything.
It is more listening, yeah. And obviously we don't give you any advice, or, you know, we don't give you any opinions, but we create a safe space for you to process and go through anything that you're experiencing, not just grief, anything that you're struggling with. We give you that space, that safe space, non-judgmental space, and help you just process your feelings and emotions and help you get through that journey, whatever that might be.
Talk from a personal point of view, just to put this in perspective, my mother died very suddenly, just before Christmas, 2009. And it was a terrible, terrible shock, obviously, to all of us in the family. And a few months later, I was seeing my GP about something unconnected. And on the way out, just as I was finishing the appointment, he said, anything else? And I just, on the spur of the moment, said, you know what? I'd really like to talk to somebody. I said, I've lost my mum and, you know, a bit at sea and whatever. And he said, right, we can arrange a counsellor for you. It took a few months to happen, but then when it did, I had a sort of 45 minutes just to talk to this lady, and then was given, I think, 9 other sessions every week for several months. And do you know what? It was the most amazing help, and I recommend it to everybody who loses somebody or is struggling, just to have that chance. I think you described it as a space. Yeah. Just to talk and have somebody listen, and you get stuff off your chest. And it's almost like a discussion with yourself, I think, at the end of the day, Claire.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think everybody should have that space to talk about what you're going through. And often when people don't talk, that's when it becomes unmanageable and you start not being able to cope, because if you talk, you get it out there. So I think it's really important, and yeah, I think I agree with you. It's very important in the process.
Well, that's nearly 15 years ago, and I'm so glad I did it. And as I said, I recommend it to everybody. And it's very hard to describe, but I'll just tell one little part of it is when I went for that very first meeting, I went into a beautiful room to meet the lady, and I'd never met her before. And there was a window out into a garden, and there was a chair there and a table for me to sit at. And there was a glass of water and a box of tissues. And I thought, what's the tissues for? Before 5 minutes was out, I knew what the tissues were, because I was blubbing like a child, letting it all go, not ashamed to say it. And I tell the story to anybody who is going through loss, because it was so cathartic. It doesn't bring your mum back. It doesn't really, you know, get you anywhere in that sense, but you are talking about it, dealing with it, almost letting the dam go, Claire.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I would always say, don't be afraid to cry. Or you know, or even scream, you know, whatever works for you. It's all about that release, that getting that emotion out of you. And, you know, so often, particularly in our society, we see crying as a sign of weakness, and it really isn't. And it's just this release, and getting those emotions out of your body really can help, and can be very, you know, helpful in in just getting you to connect with what you're feeling rather than pushing it down and saying, no, I'm not, I don't want to feel this, I don't want to feel this. Just, you know, really connecting and understanding what you're feeling and why you're feeling that way.
Not being judged is important because we are judged in many parts of life, aren't we?
By
people, by friends, by strangers, by family, by what you read in the newspapers and on the, you know, we are all the time, we feel, oh, should I be saying this? Should I be feeling this? And I think having that opportunity just to say stuff, maybe that you haven't even said to somebody before.
Yes. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about seeing a trained therapist is that, you know, some people don't feel comfortable saying things to friends and family, but that's, and it's often easier to talk to a stranger because there is no judgment in a therapy room and you can say whatever it is that's on your mind, you know, however much you don't, you know, you don't want to admit maybe that you're feeling that way, that the therapist will give you that space to just say exactly whatever it is that's on your mind.
I'm going to play a bit of music, check the travel and come back, Claire. We're going to be talking in a little bit later on after three about a thing called anhedonia. I'd never heard of it either. It's the condition that leaves you joyless. I've got an expert on how to recapture life's highs. So lots of interesting chat today. Claire Williams is with me right now, though she's a grief counsellor. And just before you did that in life, Claire, what sort of jobs were you doing?
I was actually doing things, something completely different. I was actually working in IT, doing project management, and I just there was no joy left in that for me. And I just retrained and just found something that I absolutely loved.
And had you experienced grief yourself?
Yes, I have experienced grief myself. And, you know, when I said earlier about, you know, releasing those emotions, and I said about screaming, that was what actually worked for me. I was down near Brighton one night, and I just had all these emotions inside me. And I just stood in front of the sea, and I just screamed and screamed at the top of my lungs.
Wow.
And I just felt this release and this just sort of almost a weight that was taken out of me. And I really highly recommend it. You know, whatever you might not want to do that, but
oh, I do.
finding that thing that works for you, and you know, and it really can be helpful.
Every day, sometimes. Listen, that's why I live in the country. I can't live in cities anymore. It's been 20 years since I moved to Cambridge. I never regret it. I grew up in the country, but I find the countryside, rural things so relaxing compared to cities and noise and everything else. And I think a lot of people feel that as they get older.
Yeah.
Just talk to us about the stages of grief, Claire. Please talk us through what people should expect to go through.
Okay, yeah. So the first one that people normally experience is shock. Even if it's an expected death, there's this sort of feeling of, I can't believe this has happened. Sometimes there's a denial aspect, you know, and your body doesn't want to even admit that it's happened. So shock is normally the first thing we feel. And depending on whether it's sudden or expected death, it kind of determines really how long you stay in this shock phase. Normally with sudden death, shock will last a lot longer, understandably, obviously, depending on what's happened. But this shock can go on for quite a long time. People then move into what we call the protest phase. So this can sometimes be increased shock, but this can kind of come with anger when you started to accept what's going on, what's happened, but you feel a real anger about it, and you start sort of saying, you know, why has this happened? Why has this happened to me? Or what, you know, this wasn't fair. And then moving on to the disorganization sometimes comes next. And this is where you feel like you're, you know, things are getting out of control in terms of how you're dealing with your day-to-day activities. You know, you might feel depressed or sort of feeling of unreality, you know, like things are a bit hazy. And then finally you come into reorganizations where you start to bring order back into your life almost, and you get new patterns of behavior. You're finding a new way of living and are finding a new normal, and you start to find meaning in life again. And then after this, it tends to come the recovery, the acceptance that, okay, this has happened. I've worked through all these phases and I now accept that this has happened. But it's really important to mention that you can often swing through these different phases backwards and forwards. And often when this happens, people think that, you know, oh God, I'm getting worse and I'm deteriorating, when actually it's very, very normal. You know, you might find you get over the shock and then the next day, actually, no, I haven't. I'm still in shock. And it's just really important to be kind to yourself and take the time that you need. And eventually, you know, it is hope that you will come into recovery. But there is no time limit on how long it takes to go round this grief wheel. And as I say, you can stay going backwards and forwards in it for a very long time. And that's not you failing. That's just a very normal process.
The whole thing of the sort of time limit, that's so huge, isn't it? Because you hear stories of folk who just never recover from losing a loved one. You know, they might even keep their bedroom exactly as it was, or their office, or, you know, their space, you know, exactly as it was, and have the photographs and want to stay with the memories as if the person's still there. And you can understand that. You know, that's what they want to do.
Yes. Yeah. And there's no right or wrong. You know, if that's how someone is coping and that's how someone wants to grieve, that is, you know, there's no judgment, and there should be no one that says, well, you should have got rid of these things by now, or, you know, this isn't healthy. Grief is very, very personal to everybody, and no two people will experience it in exactly the same way.
I spoke about some examples of collective grief, national grief. I mean, there's very often, if there's a natural disaster or something awful happens, of course, everyone's shocked and appalled and upset by that. Individuals' deaths don't often have a worldwide effect, but the death of Princess Diana, 1997, certainly was one, wasn't it? Where I'd never seen anything like it in the UK before.
Mm. Yes, I think with people like Diana, we all feel like we know her, you know, even though we didn't, you know, very, very few of us did actually know her. But because she was such a wonderful personality, and she was in our lives so much with the good work that she used to do, and we really felt a connection with her. And I think when she died, it was almost like we all lost a member of our family. And I think that's, you know, that happens when people are in our lives through celebrity, particularly people like Diana.
Yeah, and Her Majesty the Queen, obviously very different, you know, 97-year-old lady last September, and we could see that she wasn't well beforehand for a long time. She'd withdrawn from public duties, but still, when she finally passed away, that was such a moment in everybody's life, I think, virtually everybody's life, because she was the mother of the nation.
Yes, she was. And for the same, you know, the same reason as with Diana, we really felt, I mean, the Queen has been the only Queen that many of us have known for all our lives. And so it really was like it was a loss in many ways, you know, not just her death, but also the loss of the monarchy or the monarch, and, you know, a big change as well. And I think we've all got so used to her being the head of state, and then there's now a huge change as well as a loss.
Claire, don't go anywhere. We're going to play a bit of music and we'll come back and chat some more. Claire Williams, grief counsellor, is our special guest today. She's the founder of therapyfinders.co.uk. May well help you. Go and have a look on there and see some of the chat on there and some recommendations. She's a specialist grief counsellor, and we'll talk more in a moment or two here on the afternoon show, BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. We are talking about loss this hour. Grief counsellor Claire Williams is with me. We're talking about the different types of grief, and in just a moment or two, what we can do to help ourselves during the process. But I want to mention, Claire, the passing of Paul O'Grady last week, which was another very sad but so unexpected, 66 years of age. Suddenly he was gone. And again, an outpouring from people of affection for someone most people had never met.
Yeah, it was very unexpected. And I think with our unexpected death, you know, as I mentioned earlier, this shock can stay with us for a long time. And I think that's, we kind of all collectively felt this shock, didn't we? It was just, wow, you know, he was such a character and such an amazing person, and then all of a sudden he's not here. And with sudden death, it can trigger quite strong emotions.
Yeah, even if you don't know the person, only seen them on the telly or whatever. Mm. Also, because he was such a smiley, happy, you know, laugh a minute kind of character, that you don't, you know, that makes it all the more difficult, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think it also makes us all kind of reflect on our own mortality, you know, when something like this happens. So yes, it was a very shocking moment.
Yeah, losing grandparents is awful, awful, awful. Losing parents is a particularly poignant moment, isn't it? Because you're the next generation.
Yes, yeah, that's right. And all of a sudden, when you lose your parents, yes, you're the next one, almost.
So, as an expert grief counsellor, you talk to people all the time about that. How is that for you, Claire? Is it a depressing, difficult job? Does it leave you down?
You would think that, but actually, no, it doesn't. And obviously, though, I have very difficult sessions with people, and you know, people are sad. But there's a real joy as well with the work in helping people and, you know, getting them through that really, really difficult time in their life and just helping to support them through that. So although there is sadness, obviously, surrounding the topic, generally it's not a... I don't get depressed myself. It's very privileged work, I would say.
And people do really feel able to open up to you. I mean, you're a stranger to most of them. You and your colleagues don't know them, but they'll tell you things that they wouldn't have said to anybody else because it is a safe space, never to be repeated. It's your secret.
Exactly. That's exactly it. It's a safe space. It's a confident, we're bound by confidentiality. And I think sometimes people just find it easier to talk to a stranger. You know, I don't know anything about anything else that's going on in their life. It's just what they bring into that room. So we focus exactly on what they're talking about and what they want to say. And we don't often have times in any of our lives where we just have that time and space to reflect on us and what's going on.
I know you've worked around the world. Is there a difference in other places, in other cultures, to dealing with grief?
I think there is, yes. You know, we live in a culture where it's not really spoken about. No, death isn't spoken about because it's just, you know, it's this sort of taboo subject that, oh, no, we don't talk about that. And so then when death does happen, inevitably, we find it very difficult to then talk about again because it's not something that comes naturally to us. But other cultures where they sort of integrate death into life almost and make it a celebration of life, I think they grieve differently. And some cultures, you know, they're very vocal with their grieving and their emotions, whereas we don't tend to be that way.
Now, you've got some working exercises for people who are experiencing grief right now, Claire. Could you share those with us, please?
I can, yes, sure. One that I've found the most helpful is journaling. With grief, you can often experience a range of different emotions all at the same time. And this can become very overwhelming. And when you hold it all inside you, it really can affect your day-to-day life. So journaling, getting those thoughts and feelings out onto a piece of paper. And it doesn't have to be long, beautifully constructed sentences or paragraphs. It just literally could be a brain dump of whatever it is that's going on. And it helps you to organize and to focus, and also helps sometimes can bring up things that you didn't even realize you were experiencing or feeling by seeing it down written on a piece of paper. And so I've found that this really has helped people, especially if you're feeling like you're becoming overwhelmed with the emotion.
Maybe even writing to the person you've lost?
Yes, that is also something that you can do. There is also, if you've lost somebody who you feel like you haven't said something to, or there's unfinished business, that can be a really helpful exercise to do. There is also a technique in therapy that you can do, which is two chair work, where you can talk to the person, but I wouldn't recommend doing that without a therapist because they can help you facilitate the process. But again, it's all about if you feel like you've got unfinished business or there's something that you didn't say that you wanted to say, writing it down or talking it verbally out can be really helpful.
Yeah, do that with a trained therapist. What about memories, Claire?
Memories, I think there is absolutely no shame in remembering people with happiness and laughter. You know, people often think, oh, no, I can't laugh. I should be looking sad. It's all about this should. And like you mentioned earlier with the judgment of other people. there is nothing wrong with remembering someone with happiness and thinking about all the wonderful memories that you have of them, and just laughing. It can really help to move you forward through your grief.
Yeah, I also think sharing a lot of this with other people is a good thing to do. I know very often a lot of what you'll be feeling is very personal, but equally talking about it, sharing stories with other people, be it a service or just you know meeting or being with somebody in a relaxed way, is very helpful.
Yes. Talking to people and sharing memories is very helpful. And some people may feel that they don't have someone to share those memories with or don't want to talk about those memories. But if you do and you can, then yes, it's a very helpful process.
We haven't touched on whether it's different if you're dealing with a child. If it's a child who's suffering from grief, are there different approaches there?
There are, yes. And I'm not trained to work with children, but there are definitely a different process. And so if there is a child that is grieving, I would definitely recommend getting in touch with a specialist child therapist to work through that grief, because children and adults do experience it very differently.
Okay. Claire, thank you so much for talking to us. Your website is therapyfinders.co.uk. Just some other suggestions to people if they want to go and get some help?
Yes, I mean, if you're looking specifically for grief and loss information, then we also have another website called therapyforgriefandloss.co.uk, and there's lots of information on there. But as I say, if you wanted to find an actual therapist to help you through this, or whatever you're going through, not just grief, Therapy Finders deals with all issues, mental health, and if you want to find a therapist to help you, it's therapyfinders.co.uk.
Brilliant. And there's also the National Bereavement Support Charity Cruise, CRUSE. They have a website, cruise.org.uk, and their phone number is 0808 808 1677. That's 0808 808 1677. Claire Williams, thank you so much for being our guest today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Claire Williams, on the Afternoon Show, BBC Radio Cambridgeshire.